Business Council for Sustainable Energy have urged governments to establish the Green Climate Fund and recognize the importance of the finances within the private sector in order to achieve long-term objectives. The Business Council is an industry trade association that represents commercially available clean energy technologies. Ingersoll Rand has 14 billion global businesses committed to sustainable business practices within its company for its customers. Director of Global Policy and Advocacy at Ingersoll, Jeff Moe.
My business is global, you know, diversified industrial, so we have brands such as Trane Air Conditioning, in Ingersoll Rand Industrial Products, Thermo King Transport, Refrigeration, Schlage, Lock, and Security Systems, Club Car Golf Carts, and Electric Low Speed Vehicles. Recently, my company had decided that sustainability is no longer a nicety. It's actually of strategic importance to our business. So about a year and a half ago, we created the new Center for Energy Efficiency and Sustainability. The center is a group of internal experts that are basically facilitating adoption of sustainable principles across our business. So we'll look at what best practices are being used, how do we bring those back to our business, how do we adopt sustainability-related, not just goals, but then put in place systems that drive improvement for our business. So that leads to a question, why are we proactively involved in this process? What we're finding, in addition to developing products and solutions, we believe we have a responsibility to embrace the global policy development, so we want to proactively be involved in this process. Specifically in this process, one area of interest to us is adoption of the Climate Technology Center and networks, which are being discussed here, and hopefully we're going to have some furthering of firming up what this process is going to do. As we look at the process here, we have a global umbrella policy potential that can drive more consistent national policy development around the world. The reason that is important is the more we can drive consistency around the world, the better opportunity we have to scale solutions so they can be much more cost effective on a global basis. So that's what's of predominant importance. The two most important sectors to our business are energy efficiency and buildings. Buildings today represent approximately a third of greenhouse gases. It's the most significant sector today from a greenhouse gas perspective. If you don't have effective policy on how you can reduce emissions in buildings, you simply can't have an effective climate change policy. In addition, buildings represent about a third of the resources as you look at construction and roughly 40% of the energy use of total energy in the world. So this sector is very important. Another sector of importance to us is food spoilage reduction, and we get involved in that through the cold chain by implementation of our transport refrigeration. So the more we can reduce food spoilage, the more we can enhance reduction of starvation in countries, but also now we bring the opportunity for these developing countries to export their food products, which brings back revenue into the country for development of infrastructure. So there's a bunch of wins associated with that. So as we look at those two sectors, that brings us back to the Climate Technology Center and Network. And the importance of being involved in this debate is we think for this to be successful, we must have country and policymaker involvement, because essentially at the end of the day, this is countries that are developing the policy. But countries are not the ones investing in solutions, which means we must have business that's proactively involved in this center also, so we can be offering information as to existing technologies that are available today to deliver climate responsible solutions. We also have to make sure we're deploying these technologies, once again, through a proactive and supportive set of complementary policies and measures. So we now have a framework for private sector investment, for deployment, and for making sure we're aligned with country interests to drive mitigation of climate change. So this responsibility is what brings us into the party. We really appreciate having a voice in this process.
Secretary General for the Global Wind Energy Council, Steve Sawyer, explains what he is looking for.
I think what we're looking for out of this process here in Durban is some signal that there is some hope, at least, that the global experiment, which was started in 1995 to create a price on carbon and to create a global market for being able to reduce carbon emissions in the most cost-efficient way, has some hope of survival. The most likely option for that, of course, would be a second commitment period of the Kyoto Protocol. That's not going to happen by itself, and it's not going to be easy, and it's probably not going to be universal. But that or some other version of the Kyoto Protocol or modification of it to continue the market mechanisms past the end of 2012 is necessary to continue the development of this experiment, which has actually just in the last few years started to work. We have 75,000 megawatts of wind energy projects in the CDM pipeline at the moment. Two-thirds of that is China. But one of the things that we were working on for many years was to figure out how to expand that beyond the usual suspects, China, India, Brazil, and Mexico. But if there is no demand in the market, if there are no QuellROs, if there is no legally binding emission reduction obligations, it's very difficult to see how that process can be driven past 2012, other than in sort of a patchwork consisting of the US ETS and a few other national systems, which is far and away not the most efficient way of doing things. So we need to actually hear something from governments here that there is an ambition to carry that system forward, to improve it. It certainly needs improvement. There are a lot of improvements in the pipeline. But unless there is demand in the form of increased legally binding emissions reductions obligations, it's not going to really develop. And we don't expect governments to get that all done here, but we would like to see a signal that it is going to happen. And that's the main thing. I mean, I think 10 years ago or 15 years ago in this process, you saw most of the business representation here actually trying to slow down the process and prevent things from happening. I would say that while some of those elements are still present, this panel here represents a growing positive section of business who wants to see emissions reductions happen and has the technology and is willing to make the investments to make it happen. We hope that there's more of us in the future and not less.
Jupiter Oxygen Corporation's consultant Jim Wolf highlights the importance of the Green Climate Fund.
I'd like to give you a specific example, discuss an example of a technology. It's a relatively new technology that offers one commercially available technology solution that helps reduce energy consumption and enhances carbon capture and storage and carbon capture and utilization. So I'd like to give you a little background on Jupiter Oxygen and the technology and where we see the needs in this process to help get that commercially available technology into the marketplace and into developing countries. Jupiter Oxygen Corporation offers technology solutions that improve combustion technology. We're really talking about boilers. And they also offer technology that enhances CO2 capture from these industrial furnaces and boilers that are used primarily in the manufacturing process area, in the remelting of aluminum, those types of processes, and for production of electricity, and provide significant energy efficiency improvements as a result of that, and make it very easy to capture the CO2. By including carbon capture and storage and carbon capture and utilization in the CDM and the Green Climate Fund, it would provide a big incentive to get this technology commercialized. It's been demonstrated, it's available, pilot plants are operating today. Jupiter Oxygen has developed a unique oxy-fuel combustion system. Basically what you do, you use oxygen instead of air into the boiler, into the burner. And this maximizes the heat transfer effectiveness and it also minimizes the NOx and SOx from the boiler, so you don't have to do as much treatment on the after part. And this is used, again, in industrial furnaces and boilers, and it provides an opportunity to get significant reductions in CO2 by burning less energy, and also can be integrated into a recovery system. It's been used successfully for over 10 years in the aluminum remelt furnaces and gotten up to about a 70% reduction in energy consumption in that application. Electric utility would be more in the 7 to 14% energy savings. Now, Jupiter Oxygen has broadened this technology approach in cooperation with the Department of Energy, the National Energy Technology Laboratory, and improve the effectiveness of the carbon capture with a system they call an integrated air pollutant recovery system. And what you basically do is you put this on the end of a boiler in a fossil power plant and you recover the CO2, and you recover 95% of the CO2, and then it can be used for various purposes. The details of this are on the Jupiter Oxygen website at www.jupiteroxygen.com. Now, one of the importance of capturing the CO2 is it improves the economics of the system because the oxygen fuel system is more expensive than the standard system. It is commercially available. Projects are being developed right now in India and in China, and there are existing facilities operating in the U.S. Now, in bringing this technology to the market in emerging economy, Jupiter Oxygen's approach is multi-pronged. It first must understand the local markets, the price of the fuel resources and electricity, the availability of government incentives or policies encouraging the energy efficiency, and of course the existence of air pollution controls. Also considered is the framework for the protection of intellectual property rights and the ability to source the needed financing, which is very important, from multilateral banking institutes to mitigate risk. Now, utilization of the CO2 captured by these technologies is another important factor in assessing the viability of the new market. So you need to blend these together. Now, this is all part of Jupiter Oxygen's vision of sustainable development and the promotion of the clean, energy-efficient technologies. Their goal is to support ambitious climate protection and development goals and to provide a clean energy technology solution to help meet the worldwide increasing energy supply and demand needs. With the projected high fossil electric energy consumption in emerging economies like China and India, the carbon capture and storage technologies can play an important role to realize the climate protection goals at reasonable cost, particularly in an economy like China where a lot of coal is used for power production. Now, according to the International Energy Agency's report, World Energy Outlook 2011, CCS is the key abatement option in their 450 scenario, accounting for almost one-fifth of the additional reductions in emissions that are required. So again, a decision to include CCS in the CDM and the Green Climate Fund is crucial for those ambitious climate protection goals and to stimulate this technology. Now, I have some brochures available for anybody that's interested. One describes a test facility on a 5-megawatt plant operating in the United States and how this technology works. And also, I have a couple of documents on the alliances for what is going on in India and China.
The development and implementation of new technology and strategies remains the best solution for the reduction of carbon emission. Businesses continue creating innovative climate technology, but it remains clear that in order for climate technology to be successful, there must be country and policy involvement. And since countries are not providing adequate finances, businesses are encouraged to invest.